we are going back to our sermon series on gospel friendship. We're going to be looking at 1 Samuel 23, verses 13 to 20, and Joshua is going to be reading the passage for us.
1 Samuel 13 to 20, 23, 13 to 20. Then David and his men, who were about 600, arose and departed from Keilah, and they went wherever they could go. When Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah, he gave up the expedition. And David remained in the strongholds in the wilderness, in the hill country of the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not give him into his hand. David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. And Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God. He said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Saul, my father, also knows this." And the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. David remained at Horesh, and Jonathan went home. Then the Ziphites went up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is not David hiding among us in the strongholds at Horesh, on the hill of Hashilah, which is south of Jeshimon? Now come down, O king, according to all your heart's desire to come down, and our part shall be to surrender him into the king's hand." This is God's word.
Amen. Father, we pray that would you pour out your Holy Spirit and bless this faithful preaching of your word. May your Holy Spirit come and exalt Christ in every one of our hearts, changing us, transforming us, and making us more like him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at one of the most beautiful friendships in the Bible. In Jonathan's friendship with David, we have seen love and sacrifice. We saw that gospel friendships are not held together merely by a sentiment and emotions, but it's held together by covenant love. We saw that real friends lovingly speak the truth before sin hardens our hearts. And we saw how true friendships persevere even when cracks develop. But today we are about to move even deeper. We're going to see what actually lies beneath all of this. Today, finally in our series, after talking about gospel friendships for 3 weeks, we're actually going to get into what is the very essence of gospel friendship. What is the greatest thing that a follower of Christ can offer to a friend? Is it encouragement? Is it loyalty? Is it emotional support? Or is it simply being there for each other? All of these things do matter. But today's passage invites us to look even deeper into the core essence of gospel friendship. Friends help one another find strength in God. Friends help one another find strength in God. Not just strength in each other, and not just comfort in each other, but gospel friendship helps us to find strength in God Himself. Gospel friends point us to Jesus. They bring the very presence of Christ into our weary and exhausted lives. This is the whole essence of gospel friendship. This is also the crux of the passage that we're looking at this morning. And I'd like to draw out three things for us. First, gospel friends strengthen us in Christ. Friends help us see gospel realities in difficult seasons. And third, how Christ is present in our friendships. Three things. Gospel friends strengthen us in Christ. Friends help us see gospel realities in difficult seasons. and how Christ is present in every friendship. Let's start with the first. Gospel friends strengthen us in Christ. Verse 16, and Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God. Jonathan strengthens David's hand in God. If you remember, Jonathan had actually sacrificed his throne for David. And that was a great thing to do. But what Jonathan is doing here is even greater. Jonathan is helping David find strength in God. This is a greater gift to David than even the throne. And this is the very essence of gospel friendship. Gospel friends point us to Christ. Gospel friends bring the presence of Christ into our lives. And here's what makes gospel friendship a profoundly different from other ordinary friendships where Christ is not the center. Ordinary friendship often stop with emotional support. I'm here for you. I understand you. I see you. I hear you. I feel your pain. All of these things do matter deeply. These things are an essential part of human existence. It's part of being human. But gospel friendship rises even above all of these. Gospel friendship helps us find strength in God. Like ordinary friends, a gospel friend also lovingly enters into our fears, our confusion, and our weaknesses. But unlike ordinary friends, gospel friends also help us to slowly turn our eyes to Jesus. Gospel friends remind us of the promises of God when we are forgetting them. They remind us of the character of God when suffering and hardship distorts our vision. They remind us of the nearness of Christ when we feel abandoned and alone. Gospel friends help steady our trembling hearts in God again. They don't just offer themselves, they offer Christ. Sometimes they do this through words, sometimes it's just a prayer, sometimes simply through their presence. But somehow, through their friendship, Christ himself comes near to strengthen us. And this is exactly what Jonathan did for David that day. If you remember the passage that we read, this was a time in history. At this time in history, David was not alone. He began by being alone, but right now in this passage, he's not alone. Yes, David is being hunted down by Saul, but he was not alone. If you remember the beginning of the passage, David had a small army of 600 men with him. These were tough men. If you're familiar with this portion of the Bible, you will know that these men were fiercely loyal to David. At one point later in his life, while David was hiding, an enemy army had occupied Bethlehem. And in a moment of longing and exhaustion, David said, "Oh, that someone would get me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem." And three of David's men heard this, and they broke through the enemy ranks, drew water from the well, going to the heart of enemy territory, and brought that water back to David. This was amazing courage and perhaps even love. David, at this time, was among 600 such men of strength, courageous men, brave men. But Jonathan did in his faith what 600 soldiers could not do in their strength. Jonathan did in his faith what 600 soldiers could not do in their strength. Jonathan strengthened David in the Lord. Good friends will always point us to Jesus. They will help us find strength in Christ. And this brings us to the second thing that we're going to look at from this passage. Friends help us see gospel realities in difficult seasons. In the passage, see how Jonathan actually strengthens David. Verse 17, "Do not fear for the hand of Saul, my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel and I shall be next to you. Saul, my father, also knows this." Before we get into this, just I want us to feel there's a moment of sadness in this passage. This is the last time David and Jonathan are ever going to see each other. And they'll never see each other for many years. And David will eventually hear about Jonathan's death. That is for next week. But this is how Jonathan is encouraging David. Jonathan did not strengthen David with an army or with a strategy for the wilderness or even with an escape plan. Jonathan is strengthening David by reminding him of God's promises to him. Earlier on, God had specifically called David and anointed him through the prophet Samuel to be the next king of Israel. David had forgotten this, but Jonathan hadn't. And so Jonathan was reminding David of God's promise. David had lost sight of God's promises in the light of his hardship, but Jonathan reminded David of God's word. This is how Jonathan strengthened David, through God's word. What happened to David happens to all of us. Every one of us. There are no exceptions. I am no exception. When we go through difficult seasons in our lives, we lose sight of Christ. We lose perspective. We forget the steadfast love of God. Fear narrows our vision. Discouragement clouds our heart, and anxiety in these times makes it hard even to pray. And without even realizing it, slowly we lose sight of Christ. And this is when gospel friends like Jonathan are so important. They can help us see what fear has caused us to forget. We all need friends to remind us of truths, truths that we already know but have now forgotten in the middle of our hardship. We need friends who will remind us that God is still faithful. God will never abandon us, that God is always working for His glory and our good, even through every hardship we endure. We need gospel friends to remind us that if God gave His only Son for us, what good will He withhold from us? I imagine that this is how Jonathan strengthened David in God. He helped David see God's reality more clearly than his circumstances. There is also another very interesting layer to how Jonathan helped David. David was hiding from Saul, and when Jonathan searched and found David in the wilderness, if you see from the passage, he went alone. He did not go with an army. He did not even go with bodyguards. He went alone. If you really think about it, Jonathan did not go in strength, he went in weakness. Jonathan moved from the security, the power, and the strength of Saul, his father's palace, and he moved from the strength of the palace into David's weakness and danger in order to strengthen his friend in God. Think about this. This is interesting, isn't it? Jonathan went from strength to weakness in order to help strengthen David in the Lord. Counterintuitive. Don't we all know of another friend? A friend who left his heavenly palace and came down to us in our wilderness. Jesus. Truly, Jesus set his power aside and came to help us by becoming weak, by becoming weak enough and allowing himself to be nailed to the cross. We know that Christ became weak in order to save us. Generally, we all think that we have to help our friends from a place of strength. Jesus shows us otherwise. When we try and point our friends, a friend who is suffering, a friend who is in doubt, a friend who is struggling, when we go to help a friend like that, we must not go in our strength. We must go in our weakness. We don't go to a suffering friend with the notion that I am better than him, I'm stronger than him, and I can help him. We go in the notion that I am as weak as him. And only in our weakness can Jesus strengthen us both. Far too often we think we have to help our friends from a place of strength. This is wrong. Listen. When we go to help a friend in our own strength, we are quite often going to try and fix him or her ourselves. But when we go in weakness, we're more likely to point them to Jesus. When we go in strength, we subtly and perhaps subconsciously, we say, I can carry you. But when we go in weakness, we're thinking, only Christ can carry us both. And so good gospel friends point us to Jesus. And there's one more thing that I want you to consider about Jonathan here, even though he was a prince. He was the son of Saul, who was then the king. Jonathan is actually completely helpless in this situation. The last time, if you remember, when Jonathan had tried to speak on behalf of David, Saul had actually thrown a spear to kill him. He just escaped. So Jonathan had no influence with his father. He had no agency, no power to help David. You see, when Jonathan met David in the wilderness that day, he could not offer David safety. He could not offer David riches. He could not offer David an army. He could not even promise David that Saul will calm down tomorrow. You see, Jonathan had nothing to offer David. And yet, he had everything to offer to David. Jonathan pointed David back to God. And it's so important that we understand this. Here is the truth. Even when you have absolutely nothing to offer a hurting friend, you can offer true spiritual encouragement even in the most helpless of situations. Sometimes we think, what can I possibly do to my friend? I cannot fix his marriage. I can't heal his depression. I cannot remove his suffering. I cannot solve his workplace problems. And we feel so helpless. And in that feeling of helplessness, because we cannot fix them, we subconsciously, slowly pull back from our friends. Just overwhelmed by what the friend is going through. But Jonathan shows us something profoundly beautiful. You do not need personal strength to strengthen another friend in God. In fact, many times the best gospel friendships happen when two people meet in weakness. What would this look like practically in our life here in Mumbai? Let me give you a very ordinary example, something that I'm sure we've all encountered at some point of time or another. Imagine you have a friend who's working in a really toxic workplace, highly demanding, toxic workplace. The pressure is relentless, targets, deadlines, office politics, sometimes abuse, power play, no recognition, long commutes, emotional exhaustion, and you see your friend crumbling under the weight of this. Now, as your friend is really struggling, imagine you meet him one day after work. What would you do? Buy him a drink? Tell him to just chill? Pamper him and distract him with a good meal? Take her to a spa? Or take her shopping to dull the pain? Give him good career advice? Of course, there's a place for all this. But would you know how to sit with him or her in empathy? Would you know how to feel his pain or her pain rather than bury it with some distraction? More importantly, would you know how to truly strengthen your friend in Christ? Would you know how to pray for him or her with tears? This is gospel friendship. This brings us to the last thing we're going to look at in this passage. How Christ is present in our friendships. When friends meet in weakness, Christ is present. There's something deeply moving towards the end of the passage. Look at verse 18. After Jonathan had strengthened David, David remained in Horesh, and Jonathan went home. Jonathan went home. David was still in the wilderness. You see, Jonathan, his best friend, who had sacrificed his throne for David, could not take away David's wilderness, but he strengthened David for the wilderness. Jonathan could not change David's circumstances, but I'm going to show you that Jonathan changed David's perspective. Jonathan could not take away David's fears, but we're going to see in just a bit that he helped David cling to God and rise above those fears. I'll show that in just 1 minute. Ultimately, the greatest gift we can offer to a friend is not to solve their problems. The greatest gift that we can offer to a friend is to point them to Jesus. Let me show you how profoundly Jonathan strengthened David by pointing him to God. If you remember the last two verses of this passage, the Ziphites betrayed David as soon as Jonathan left him. things came to a place where the Ziphites trapped David. And if you remember verse 20 in the passage, they immediately send word to Saul. And this is what they tell Saul. Now come down, O king, according to all your heart's desire to come down. And on our part, we shall surrender David to the king's hand. So the Ziphites had trapped David. They were absolutely sure that when Saul comes, they will deliver David, dead or alive, to Saul. And in this happened right after Jonathan left David, if you remember the passage. And in this dire situation, David should have been discouraged. But he wasn't. And it is in this exact moment, precise moment, when the Ziphites betrayed him, that David wrote Psalm 54. And Psalm 54, the Bible tells us this clearly. This is how the Bible describes Psalm 54. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a song of David. When the Ziphites went and told Saul, is not David hiding among us? And this is what David sings in Psalm 54, verse 4. Look at this. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. David was strong and confident in God, even in the face of betrayal and death. You see, Jonathan had left and went home. David was still in the wilderness, but Jonathan had strengthened David in God. And now we can see in Psalm 54, David was strong despite being betrayed, despite his very life being in danger. Jonathan had loved and served David well. This is a mark of gospel friendship. Ultimately, we do not offer ourselves to a friend. We offer Christ to a friend. Imagine you spend a couple of hours with a hurting friend, with someone who's struggling. When you leave, will he be strong in Christ? Will she be strong in Christ? This is the very essence of gospel friendship. Psalm 54 makes it very clear that Jonathan had pointed David to a greater friend, God himself. Centuries later, another king would leave his palace and enter a wilderness. This king did not leave an earthly palace. He left the throne room of heaven. Jesus, the Son of God, left the glory of heaven and entered our broken world of sin, suffering, and death. He laid down his life to save us. He bore the punishment for our sins. He paid the price for our failures. Because Christ was punished for every one of your sins and mine, we can now have eternal life by only believing in him. You see, our deepest problem is not discouragement. Our deepest problem is sin. An earthly friend like Jonathan can help us when we struggle with discouragement. But sin? You see, only a God friend can solve the problem of sin. Only Jesus can solve the problem of sin. And so, gospel friends must point one another to Christ. There is a moment in John chapter 11, and this moment makes it crystal clear how Christ himself dwells in gospel friendships. When two friends really grow in their friendship with Christ at the center, Jesus dwells in that friendship. If you remember John chapter 11, that's the passage where Lazarus is dead and Jesus raises him to life. Jesus hears the news. Jesus is in another town and he hears the news that Lazarus is dead. Do you remember what Jesus tells his disciples at that juncture? John chapter 11, verse 11. After seeing these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." Our friend Lazarus. I love these words. Jesus did not say, "Your friend Lazarus." Jesus did not say, "My friend Lazarus." Jesus said, "Our friend Lazarus." You see, Jesus has placed himself inside the circle of this earthly friendship. When we are with our friends, Christ is with us. Jesus is present in every gospel friendship. He's not merely watching from a distance. He's not merely approving of our friendship. He is present within it. The deepest reality in every gospel friendship is not the two friends. The deepest reality is Christ himself. We all know what happened next in John chapter 11. Jesus stands before the tomb of Lazarus and says, "Lazarus, come out." And a man who has been dead for 3 days walks out of the grave. And Jesus revealed himself as the resurrection and life. This is why gospel friendships are so precious. And not because gospel friends are wiser, not because gospel friends are stronger, not because they know exactly what to say in every situation. No. Gospel friendships are precious because the risen Christ is present in every gospel friendship. Where Christ is present, despair does not have the final word. Where Christ is present, fear cannot prevail. Where Christ is present, discouragement cannot control us. Christ is the greater reality. Let's go back to David and Jonathan. At one point, Jonathan left David and went home, but Jesus never leaves us. Jonathan strengthened David in God and then departed. Jesus strengthens us in God and remains with us forever. Jonathan could only visit David in the wilderness. Jesus dwells with us in the wilderness. The Bible says he's a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. No one can empathize with our suffering more than Jesus can. Lastly, Jonathan could only remind David of God's promise, but Jesus is the very fulfillment of God's promise. He is the promised Savior. He is the coming Messiah. He is the God friend who will deliver us from our sins and lead us into eternal life. And this is why gospel friendships matter so much. Jesus often chooses to bring his presence, his comfort, and his strength to us through gospel friendships. How many of you have experienced Christ come face to face to encourage you in a moment of hardship? He encourages us by his Holy Spirit and by sending gospel friends who will remind you of God's steadfast love. If you would consider yourself part of New City, if you've been coming here, if you say, "This is my church, I belong here," let me remind us, we need gospel friends. It's not going to happen on its own. It takes investment. It takes prayer. It takes intentionality. It's It's foolish. It's naive. It's stupid to try and live life with no deep gospel friends. We all need gospel friendships simply because good friends always point us to Christ, our eternal God friend. Shall we pray? Father, we come in repentance, acknowledging, Lord, that we have been too self-centered. We have been too self-conscious. We've been too sophisticated. We've been too strong to acknowledge that we need deep gospel friends. We repent for we have been superficial, Lord. Hanging out, spending time together, all wonderful things, but never going deeper. Not having Christ at the very center, not having Christ as the very essence. And so we pray for all of us. Would you give us the grace and the power and the strength by your Holy Spirit to be intentional in cultivating one or two deep gospel friendships with people of the same gender? Help us, Lord. Help us be a true church, not just superficial, not just gathering on Sundays, which is a beautiful thing to do, but truly investing and putting deep roots in building gospel friendships that Christ is the very essence. Lord, would you give us this grace? Would you help us, Lord? No matter how young we are, no matter how old we are, whether we are introverted, whether we are extroverted, would you give us the gift of gospel friends? Help us, Lord. We ask this in the name of Christ, our God friend. Amen. Amen.